During its infancy, rapid advance social media was looked at as a means to bring people together for things like discussions, education, information, other positive ideas. Well, we all know that didn't happen, did it? Instead, people have gone into their respective camps. Conspiracies have been able to fester. Personal security, limited privacy has been pierced. TikTok is seen as the greatest risk in these ways, especially considering who owns the company that oversees TikTok. This past week saw, I call it a political miracle, take place in the House of Representatives, where an overwhelming majority voted to remove this threat by TikTok. Legislation has now moved on to the Senate. My next guest joins us to examine this situation and address some of the misunderstandings about the bill. He is Vice President with Americans for Prosperity, Akash Chugli. How are you today, sir?
I am good. Thanks for having me on.
AmericansForProsperity.org is the website. Learn more about this issue and the other ones that the organization addresses with facts and reality, certainly a novelty in these current days. We are addressing what's called the Protecting Americans from Foreign Adversary Controlled Applications Act. In this case, the legislation is calling for two things: restricting an app store availability and web hosting services for ByteDance-controlled applications, which that's the parent company of TikTok, unless they sever ties with entities under foreign adversary control, which is defined by Congress, and the bill offers ByteDance a defined window to divest with exemptions available upon completing a qualified divestment. What's the positive about this, and what has brought this about, Akash?
Yeah, what has brought this about is a serious national security threat that is posed by this platform. The reason Americans for Prosperity, which has a long track record, as you know, of defending free speech, opposing tech censorship, opposing government bans on technology and things like that, the reason we chose to support this bill is that it takes a very narrowly tailored approach to addressing a very specific problem, which is an app controlled by a foreign adversary that poses a national security risk in the form of collecting Americans' data without their full knowledge and using the algorithm of their app to foment division, anti-Semitism, and to skew the content and frankly, control the minds of now 150 million Americans. And so this bill doesn't do a lot of the things that its opponents are claiming it does. What it does is allow, like you said, ByteDance an opportunity to divest TikTok, allow it to continue to operate, or should ByteDance refuse to do so, if the Chinese government is insisting they will, then it would face a ban after 6 months.
This isn't the only company that ByteDance has a piece of. There's another one, which this might come as a surprise, especially to homeschoolers, Tutor.com, which is an online tutoring company. It's been around since 1998. That connects students to tutors in online classrooms. And that, too, and this is from the bottom of Tutor's website, says Tutor.com is controlled by Primavera Holdings Limited, a firm owned by Chinese nationals with the principal place of business in Hong Kong, China. Now, they're saying they're an American company, but Primavera is also associated with, right, ByteDance. So there are different ways that ByteDance through, which when you say ByteDance, Akash, aren't you really just saying the Chinese government?
Yeah, I mean, again, China is a communist society. Every single company in China is ultimately accountable to and at some level controlled by the Chinese government. China has a requirement that any company, American or Chinese or not, any company operating in China is required to share their data with the Chinese government. That, of course, means the Chinese Communist Party. That's the reason that Facebook, which is obviously an American company owned by Meta, Facebook does not do business in China, is not available in China, because they refuse to comply with that data sharing requirement. TikTok, obviously being owned by ByteDance, which is itself a Chinese company, is subject to that, which is why the Chinese have all this data on the American people and can use it to do harm, as they have made clear they intend to do.
I know we're looking at things on the policy side of things, but do we know technologically, is the banning of an app even technologically possible?
Yeah, so it's complicated, but essentially the manner in which this would be enforced is through the app stores, Google and the Apple app stores. They would be the ones to ensure that it cannot be accessed on American phones. They can face fines from the FCC if they refuse to do so. And ultimately, you know, the implementation of the law is another step. Right now, we're focused simply on applauding the 352 members of the House, an enormous bipartisan majority that voted for it, putting pressure on Leader Schumer to get it through the Senate, where President Biden said, of course, he will sign it. So the implementation is a different question. Those steps are, you know, we're aware generally of how that would work, but, you know, that's a step away, step or two really away from where we are at this moment.
Just to reiterate that vote to the cash reference, 352-65. I'm trying to think the last time we saw anything closely resembling a vote like that in the House, Akash. That's to say the least, is a novelty of recent times.
No, it's extremely rare and extremely noteworthy in a presidential election year to have 352 votes on something this substantive, this transformative. Should tell the American people a lot about how serious this issue is. And we commend the bipartisan majority and then a bipartisan effort on the China Select Committee that produced this legislation to begin with.
And that's add to that, too, the fact that the presumptive Republican nominee for the camp for the November election, Donald Trump, has once again repeated his 2020 path. First, he was in favor of banning. Now he's not in favor of the banning. And that's a lot of Republicans that went against the wishes and the will of Donald Trump, which that, too, is a novelty these days.
Yeah, absolutely. That's exactly right. I mean, it says quite a bit. Obviously, I think there's a couple members in the Senate who are particularly, I think, desperate for his attention, who have not spoken up on this bill. But again, it's enormous bipartisan support. There's quite a bit of unity, not only in the Republican side, but really across the aisle on this. And we're hopeful and urging Leader Schumer to look past the kind of radical progressives on the Democratic side who oppose this bill and put it on the Senate floor and get it to the president's desk.
Starting with Akash Chihuly, who is Vice President of Americans for Prosperity, AmericansForProsperity.org, their website, and you're listening to Issues and Ideas. Looking at the Senate, as you said, they're known as, quote-unquote, the deliberative body, or the grown-ups in the Capitol, whatever you want to call them. They don't see a sense of urgency on this, do they?
No, they don't, at least not right now, which is unfortunate. Senate procedure, by nature, can take up to 2 weeks or more even, to pass a piece of legislation because of the vote to overcome the filibuster and the various procedural steps. But this really is an urgent national security issue, and so we're hopeful that with additional pressure, and again, urge all your listeners to contact their senators to urge Leader Schumer to get this to the Senate floor. It's ultimately his decision at the moment.
Maybe two of those names you should put in proper focus, too, are the respective party leaders of the Senate Intelligence Committee. On the Democratic side, that's Senator Mark Warner. And on the Republican side, Senator Marco Rubio. Because once as this bill goes through the Senate, that'll be the starting point for any deliberation, right?
Yes, that's exactly right. So it doesn't actually need to go to committee. It's noteworthy that both Warner and Rubio, who have been serious about TikTok and have done a lot of good bipartisan efforts on China, looking into Chinese interference. It's notable that they both support this, but the leader can put this directly on the Senate floor. It does not need to go through committee. And frankly, if it is referred to committee in Washington, that's colloquially known as killing a bill. In this particular instance, this would actually go to the Commerce Committee, which is led by Senator Maria Cantwell from Washington State. She actually opposes this bill. And so referring this bill to committee at this point would be functionally the same as killing it, which is why we're urging Leader Schumer to put it on the Senate floor. It you know, highly, highly likely has the votes to pass. It's just a matter of his decision to do so or not.
Hypothetical, even though the TikTok parent company CEO said they would take a ban as opposed to bend to the demands of the legislation. So they've pretty much carved their position stone, at least at this point in time. But hypothetically, if TikTok changed their privacy rules and made their privacy rules more public, the algorithms more public, which, you know, that's a tough ask for any of these social media companies, would the concerns about TikTok lessen in that way?
I don't think so, because I think one of the big problems with it is the data and the Chinese controlling American data. We don't know exactly what they plan to do with it, but we know obviously, in many ways, not just via TikTok, but that they mean harm to us. They see us as a rival, as a competitor, as an enemy. And so, the Chinese government controlling access to data of 150 million Americans is alone a problem. The algorithm of the app itself, I think, is just an additional problem on top of that.
We're obviously putting the focus on TikTok for a variety of reasons. People claim it to be a prime source of income. Others show it to be a danger through, as we've all seen one tragic news story after another. They're called the TikTok challenges, which I'll just give you some of the names. I won't go into the details of them. There's the NyQuil chicken challenge, the blackout challenge, the Benadryl challenge. Let's see, the Skullbreaker challenge. We have the fire challenge where, well, if you're assuming that entails lighting yourself on fire, yeah, and people do. And the cha-cha slide challenge, which encourages you to do the cha-cha while you're driving. So that's just to give you an idea, if you've never been on TikTok, a more full picture than the proponents are given. But is this going to raise the awareness, too, for the other social media companies? Do they need to be watching and reassess and reevaluate what they do with their data, because, well, they might just be next in the crosshairs?
Yeah, I mean, I think the concern here is not American-owned or even, you know, other countries' apps, right? The bill is very, very specific. It is about apps controlled by four foreign adversaries. We actually list the countries in the bill. It's China, Russia, Iran, and North Korea. And so whether an app is, you know, from the EU, like, you know, Europe, like Spotify, or obviously the vast majority of these apps are American, that is not our concern. We've long opposed government stepping in and exerting control over those kind of apps and you know, censoring them or getting involved in the algorithm or obviously banning them. We've opposed all of those efforts on free speech grounds, on free market grounds. This is a completely different situation. This is a foreign-owned app by a foreign adversary who means harm and poses a national security threat. It's a narrow legislation dealing with a specific problem. And so I don't want to apply the principles here to situations that are not exactly analogous.
Once again, this is a issue that is important to you now that you know a little bit more of it, along with what you've been hearing this past week. And certainly contact your senator and senators in the U.S. Senate and urge them to put a little move on this topic, because the more time that someone who is in the crosshairs, as I said before, gets time to prepare, the tougher it's going to be to set things right and set things safe for users in fairness and adhering to freedom of speech and some of the other concerns that have been raised about this. But if you look at the legislation, you realize it is really just preserving and protecting the American citizen from undue invasion and unfair invasion of privacy. Learn more about this and other issues at the website for Americans Prosperity, AmericansForProsperity.org. Here's the Vice President, Akash Chuguli. Thank you so much for being here today.
Thanks for having me on.